Next on our agenda, I would like to invite Interim Vice President Avijit Ghosh to give us an update on the financial health of the university.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I can give you a very, very quick update. The financial health is good. So, but what I would like to do today is to briefly talk about, touch on three topics. The hospital, you heard a little bit yesterday, but and the pension cost shift, the question you raised yesterday, Mr. Chairman, and our operating pool and endowment funds. I want to start off with the hospital. I know Trustee King will be providing a more detailed discussion of the hospital in his committee report, but I want to start off by just sort of pointing out the financial picture of the hospital, which has been very robust this year and is moving very well. As you can see, the total revenue, because of the growth in the activity levels, the total revenue has grown, as well as total revenue has grown by over 5%. And the operating margin compared to this end of January 31st, this year compared to last year at the same time period, is more than double of what it was last year. So the hospital is making a good financial performance as it moves along, okay? Some good discipline in terms of revenue management and cost management, and those are paying off. And the provisional figures from the end of February shows the same kind of trend moving ahead. This just shows you for each of the months of last year, last fiscal year, and this fiscal year, the red represents on the left-hand side, the red bars represent this year, the blue bars represent last year, and except for 1 month, you can see each month has been better than a corresponding month last year. Okay. Finally, on days cash on hand, on January, the days cash on hand has been improving also. From a few months ago, it was only at 94 days, and today, on January 31st, is 110. Actually, as of February 28th, that number is 117 days of cash in hand. This is partly due to some receivables from the Medicaid managed care companies, as well as the state insurance, employee insurance programs, which have been collected now. That's helping the cash position. So with that, I would like to move a little bit into the pension cost shift. This has been a subject of a lot of discussions, even yesterday we talked about it. So what I would like to do is to touch briefly on the different pension cost shift proposals that has been out there and tell you what the status of those discussions are and where we stand. First of all, I need to go back a little bit and tell you about, there are actually three pension systems that the state, our university employees belong to, okay? There's the Tier 1 defined benefit plan, which is really a legacy defined benefit program. And the Tier 1 was stopped on January 1st in 2011, and that shifted to the Tier 2, which is also a defined benefit plan. But employees who joined after January 1, 2011 had the choice of the Tier 2 program and no longer the Tier 1 program. The third program is the self-managed program, which is a defined contribution program, okay? Not a defined benefit, but a defined contribution program, which is also there. Currently, about 47% of our employees are in Tier 1, about 30% in Tier 2, and 20% in the self-managed plan. That's the distribution currently. Now, Tier 1 and Tier 2 are very different. And as you can see, the retirement ages are different. How average salaries are collected are different. As well as, most importantly, the maximum pensionable earning is very different. In Tier 1, there was no cap, or the federal cap of $247,000 was applicable. In Tier 2, you can see it's the cap on earnings is about $112,000, which is indexes increases a little bit each year. Okay. Now, what are the different proposals? All the proposals for cost shift really focuses on the employer portion of the normal cost. Okay. So the normal cost is the present value of how much future liabilities accrued each year. That's the normal cost in a defined benefit program. And the SUR's, the State University Retirement System, who manages our programs, the normal cost is approximately 20% of pensionable earnings, of which the employer share is approximately 12%, and the employee share is about 8%. And the different proposals of cost shift that has been put forth all relates to that 12% employee share and how that is going to be paid. Okay. Right now, the state pays through our payments on behalf of all of that cost. So in July of last year, two proposals came from the legislators. The first proposal was for the university to fund the normal cost for earnings that exceed the governor's salary, which is $177,500. That was one proposal. And the second proposal was to develop a new retirement program. SUS was asked to develop a new retirement program, and then the university would pay part of the normal cost of that new program. Okay. So to take the first one, which is the portion above the governor's salary, what the proposal is that all university employees whose salaries are above $177,500, the portion, the normal cost attributed to the portion above that limit, the university will have to pay, and the rest will still be paid by the state. That's the proposal. This proposal is actually moving ahead. We have started accruing this cost at the beginning of this fiscal year. And at the SUS will be providing a bill to the university at the end of the year of what this cost is going to be for the university. We estimate that cost to be between $2.6 million to $3.8 million, and the exact number depending on how many faculty teach during the summer. If we look at the current trends, it'll probably be about $3.2 million a year for the entire university. So that's the cost. Okay. Trustee Edwards, yeah.
The 170, we'd have to assume the normal costs for anyone over $177,500.
That's right.
So that would only be tier one.
Only tier one.
Two is, are already maximized out at 112.
Yeah, because
or something, right?
Tier two, the cap is only at about $112,000. It'll be only tier one
and
not SMP either.
Right, and then that. We're not putting new employees into tier one, correct?
You have anticipated my comments, okay? Yes, it will increase slightly each year if the salaries increase.
Right, right.
But at the same time, we're not putting any new people, and these are people who many of them are retirement eligible,
right.
So they're already retiring. So we don't anticipate this total to be changing much as we move forward, okay? So that's the impact of tier one. The next proposal was a proposal by the legislators asking SUS to create a new plan, which would be a combination of a defined benefit and defined contribution plan. And this all new employees would have to come into this. SUS was asked to put together a plan along these features and then have it certified by the IRS, which all retirement plans need to be. And then introduce that program. And the universities would pick up some portion of the normal cost for the defined benefit portion as well as contribute for the defined contribution portion. Now, when the legislation was passed, the legislation did not completely clarify the features of this program. And SUS did not proceed with designing a new program because they needed clarifications, legislative clarifications, on many of the features that were going to be included into this program. And so they proposed a bill, a follow-up bill, a trailer bill to the legislators. That trailer bill has not moved. The legislators have not acted on that trailer bill, and we have not seen any indication that trailer bill is going to be acted upon in the near future. So the SUS position right now is they are not moving to design a new program at this time. Originally, we had expected that in the beginning of 2020 fiscal year, this new program would be in place. Right now, we don't expect that to happen, and we do not know what exactly time frame SUSE is going to abide by. Okay. Now, the governor budget proposal, as was discussed yesterday, also proposes that a shift of the employer normal cost, this will be for all Tier 1 and Tier 2, the normal cost would shift 25% the first year and then another 25% each of the next 3 years following that. His proposal also suggests that funds will be provided to IBHE to cover the cost of this transfer for the first year. Okay. Now, what we have seen is this is a proposal by the governor. We have to see there's no legislative action yet. And actually, there have been, as was mentioned yesterday, there's been a lot of questions about whether this is a feasible plan or not. This will actually shift a very significant amount of money very, very fast. Okay, for us, it'll be about a $45 to $50 million shift each year, okay, and which will grow. Then it'll become 90 and then... Okay. The challenge here is that the same proposal has been made for school districts and community colleges. And school districts and community colleges will be trying to pay for this through higher property tax. And that's a legislative issue that needs to be handled and solved. And as was mentioned yesterday, right now we don't see any indication from legislators that they're willing to act on this proposal yet. Now, the governor's proposal also includes the shift of some health benefit costs to the university. And those health benefit costs right now, the university currently pays $24 million of health benefit cost. The proposal is to raise that by $48 million. And what the proposal also includes is that the first year, the monies will be transferred to the IBHE, which will then provide this funding for the first year. Again, this is also part of that same proposal. We do not know whether this is going to be enacted or not. So we are following and keeping track of all developments connected to these shifts. Okay. Unless there are some more questions on this, I would like to go to my third topic, which is a very brief overview of our operating pool and endowment performance for calendar year 2017. So this is going to be a very brief overview. We've managed two funds, two groups, our operating pool, which is like our working capital. This is our working capital. All the money that comes in from tuitions and all other sources go into this, and then expenses are paid out of this pool of funds. And there are about $2.369 billion in that fund. And then we have also, university manages an endowment of $376 million. I'd like to note this endowment is different from the endowment managed by the University of Illinois Foundation, which is about $1.6 billion, but that's managed by the foundation. These are gifts that have come straight to the university. Not too many new gifts come in, but a lot of bequests sometimes are left to the university, which goes into this endowment pool. But first, looking at our operating pool, following the board guidelines, our operating pool is managed in about four layers, always keeping in mind that liquidity is very important here because this is our working capital fund, and we cannot take working capital loans. So there's some, you can see the different layers of in which this fund is managed, okay? Different levels of liquidity. And so also note that this final here, the permanent core, certain amount of money, these especially monies that we keep for our self-insurance funds and things like that, we manage in a much more longer-term perspective than these other funds that we manage. So about 14% of the operating pool is managed almost as if as a part of our endowment pool. Okay. You can see our returns on the operating pool. You know, these are very liquid investments, T-bills and things like that, so you don't expect a very high return. But you can see the last year, in 2017, our return was 1.3 as against our benchmark of 0.9. So we try to get as much return as possible, but always keeping in mind that all of these investments have to be liquid to be able to meet all our obligations. Then when we look at the endowment pool, as I said, we have an endowment fund of $376 million, as well as we manage a part of the operating pool, which we call our permanent core, as part of this endowment fund. So altogether, that makes up about $713 million. Okay. If you look at just the $376 million of our endowment, what are those endowments for? A lot of it's for faculty service, research support, student support. 29% of it is for student support and other things. How is that asset allocated? We have global equity, public equity market. A lot of it is in the public equity market, but we also have the fixed income and then some amount in alternative investments, including farmland. Our return for 2017, for the year ending 2017 calendar year, you can see our first year return was 15% last year, 1 year return. But you also have a look at our 3 year, 5 year, and 10 year returns to look at. And these returns are compared against the benchmarks. Please note that the returns are after taking out the cost. Investment costs, the benchmarks, of course, don't include that. Okay. So where do we stand in terms of our peers? This shows what's the Nakubo Common Fund, which is all universities and foundations related to universities. This is as of June 30th, because that was the last set of data that we have. As you can see, especially if you see on the long term, the 5 year, 10 year horizon, the university endowment has done quite well. I would also like to note that in the university endowment has a much larger share of fixed income compared to most endowments, because we put our permanent core in there, so fixed income sort of affects that return that we have. What has been the income distribution last year? For $22.6 million was from the pure endowment fund for 376 that went back to the colleges and units whose endowments we were managing. $11.6 million from the permanent core and $25.5 million from interest we earned on our working capital. So altogether about $60 million of income that was generated from these investments. Okay. I think it's also interesting to look at the endowment from a 10-year long-term perspective. So this is a 10-year perspective of what's happened to our endowment. You can see the beginning. We started 10 years ago with a beginning balance of about $200 million, the endowment. That's what the endowment was worth. Then in those 10 years, there has been about $136 million added to the endowment pool from gifts that have come in, an average about $13 million a year. The total investment or total income that was earned by the endowment pool is about $342 million in this 10-year period, of which $151 million was given back to the units whose endowments were being managed to support the programs, programmatic support. And $190 million were reinvested in the endowment. So what was a $200 million endowment 10 years ago, today is a $376 million endowment in addition to the income that it generated. Okay, so I wanted to just briefly update you on the 2017 results of the endowment, and that will be that's the end of my report. Unless there are questions, yes.
Are the is the endowment money across all three campuses?
Yes.
So it's a conglomeration.
It's a combined for the University of.
So it's managed at the system level, but it is allocated in accounts.
Right. So the income, these incomes that we're saying, really goes back to the different colleges and the different universities.
Right. But we manage it in one
as
pool.
As one pool, single pool.
Okay. Any other questions or comments for Avijit? All right. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, sir.